I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show. Egypt, Cairo, the most important part of the Arab Spring. All the rest are tribes. There's only one nation, Egypt. For thousands of years, Egypt. How many thousands? Well, at least stretching to 3,000. When I find, in a new piece published at Foreign Policy Research Institute by Raymond Stock, who is an Egyptologist, a well-known studier of Egypt, as well as a visiting assistant professor of Arabic and Middle Studies at Drew University, I find that there is an historical analogy that suits the present turmoil in Cairo following the elbowing aside, arrest, and suppression of the Muslim Brothers, the Ikhwan, led by Mohamed Morsi, who was one of those, you will recall, who escaped very early on, days of rage, early 2011, escaped from a prison and then became president, rising from ashes to the top, and now he's back in a jail cell. But importantly, a general has replaced him, at least in terms of power, General al-Sisi, who's appointed governance, and there are no elections in the immediate future. So Raymond is looking to Egyptian history, to generals having credibility as rulers of Egypt. Raymond, a very good evening to you. We go way back. This is back to the time of the heretic Akhenaten and his successors. What does that have to teach us about the present troubles in Egypt? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. Thanks very much for having me back. I love the subject, so I'm glad you wanted to talk about this. First of all, this is not the first time somebody has tried to compare a modern general to what I used in my article was an analogy between General al-Sisi and Horemheb, who was the final king of the 18th dynasty, who was the last king before the Ramses line, and it was the 19th dynasty.
This is 1300 BCE is the end of the 18th dynasty, 1298 to be technical. Go ahead, please, there.
Okay, well, the dates are there. You have high and low chronology, of different chronologies, but that's close enough. Anyway, so the point is that Horemheb was a general. He was appointed under Akhenaten, who was this man who is claimed to be the first monotheist to rule any country. He was, in fact, a person who allowed a few gods to remain in the pantheon, but destroyed most of them. It banned their worship, and principally the god Amun-Ra, who was the principal god of Thebes, where Egyptian power was based at that time in the south of Egypt. And he established his own capital, in fact, in modern Tell el-Amarna, Akhetaten, it was called, to place his new cult and to rule the country therefrom. But he destroyed the country in many ways by his fanaticism. He destroyed the traditional economy, basically. I mean, he destroyed the huge economy associated with Amun-Ra. And he filled the bureaucracy with his own appointees. He did not punish corruption, and he did not pursue empire as it had been built in the East by his forebears in the 18th dynasty. So when he died, and we don't really know how he died, he may have been overthrown by the man that he appointed to be his military chief, Horemheb, who was a commoner. He left the country in chaos, and Horemheb sought to reinstate what's called Maat in ancient Egypt. In ancient Egyptian belief, Maat was order, righteousness, also truth. And it was bound up with Egypt's well-being. So he waited until the last two claimants died. Actually, there was a brief interregnum after Akhenaten himself by someone called Smenkhare. We're not really sure who he was.
He might have been Tut's brother, might not have been.
Might actually have been Nefertiti, might actually have been another female relative. We don't even know for sure who really this person really was. But there are all sorts of theories about that. But eventually Tutankhamun, his son, possibly by a secondary wife, was made king and ruled for about 9 years until he died at the age of 18, possibly 10 years. And he was succeeded by his aged counselor named Ai, who married his widow. And thereafter, when I died, he was quite old when he assumed the throne, probably only ruled for maybe 3 years or something. He was succeeded by Horemheb. Horemheb then took advantage of this situation to reinstate Maat, to end what's called Isfet, chaos, in the ancient Egyptian conception, which was the opposite of order and truth. So he restored the empire in the East. He began military campaigns in the Near East, and he restored the bureaucracy. He punished the corrupt people and evildoers, and he reinstated the traditional pantheon of gods headed by Amun-Ra in Thebes. So, and he moved the capital back to Thebes. So there was a kind of grand restoration that really set the stage for the real efflorescence of the country under Ramses, Ramses II particularly. That followed in the 19th dynasty that eventually crumbled in itself as well. Because we had this fanatic cult, as Akhenaten was a fanatic, ruling the country for just 1 year. But it did enormous damage in only 1 year. The economy was destroyed, as it was almost destroyed before that by the revolution against Mubarak and its aftermath. And, of course, it was religious in nature, just like Akhenaten's revolution was religious in nature. Although, one crucial difference, it was not a complete change in religion in the case of Morsi to Sisi. It was as it was under Akhenaten, to the return to Amun-Ra, from the worship of the Aten, the sun disk, as Akhenaten pursued it and imposed it, to the return of the old gods. Rather, under Morsi, it was, and Sisi's, his successor, it was going from a particular form of Islam, or Islamism, radical militant political Islam, to a more traditional form, we hope, because we don't really know who Sisi is.
I think we can push
politically
that a little bit, Raymond, because General Sisi is certainly evidencing a tolerance that was impossible under the Ikhwan.
Yes. But he's not yet proven to be a non-Islamist. He himself wrote a thesis, or a very brief paper, really, that was called a thesis at the U.S. War College, in which he called for an Islamic form of democracy, which, in theory, is exactly what the Muslim Brotherhood was calling for. And he was appointed by Morsi because he was an Islamist. But he turned against Morsi, perhaps because he also was a nationalist. And that is what Horemheb was back in the old days. And you might say that Assisi was responding to that side of his personality or his character or his belief system more than he was to his apparent Islamism. And he's also, to contradict the Islamist side again, he has appointed an all-secularist or all-secular government to manage the transition to whatever comes following, whatever comes after this. So in 9 months from the time he overthrew Morsi, there's supposed to be a new democratically elected government, which is being managed in this transition by secularists.
Let me push you a little bit on this, Raymond, because I see that you reference in your piece about Mahfouz's 1983 novel and dialogue Before the Throne, which is a conversation, mm-hmm. I believe, before a make-believe bar of history,
yes,
about Horemheb overthrowing Akhenaten's godhead, Akhenaten's religion. And mm-hmm. I'm struck by the parallels here. And mm-hmm. I think that's what's fresh about this. Egypt has seen this before, a general mm-hmm. rising up to restore order. Because mm-hmm. as Horemheb says, and this is a fictional dialogue, but that's what fiction mm-hmm. writers are. They are the world's unelected legislatures, I believe is the proverb. Akhenaten reproaches Horemheb. I love none of my followers more than you, Horemheb. He goes on to say, says Akhenaten, nor was I as generous with anyone as much as I was with you. My reward was that you betrayed me. And Horemheb responds, I deny nothing you have said. I loved you more than any man I've ever known, but I loved Egypt more. Is that enough, Raymond? I loved Egypt more. For Sisi to say that, and the Egyptian people will accept him as the new ruler.
I think that is enough for most Egyptians right now. We don't know how they'll look at him in a few years or even a few months if he does something different in the meantime. And he's also possibly going to run for president, which will change the entire equation.
Yes, Nasser too, right. But he does become pharaoh, right, if he runs for president.
But he's already de facto pharaoh. Now, perhaps he will become, you know, more formally pharaoh, although the term is no longer used. It is, in fact, still the same essential form of government that has existed.
Well, let me push you a little bit, because democracy is the seedbed in the United States, but the mm-hmm. pharaohs are the seedbed in Egypt. Is this enough? Does Morsi satisfy the cycle that the Egyptians have lived with at least since for 3,000 years?
I would say so.
Does Sisi satisfy the response to Morsi? In other words, did they think they needed a Morsi to clean out the old corruption, and now they need a Sisi to restore order?
Well, I think that they first of all, Morsi was never a truly popular choice. He was elected by a very small minority of people, ultimately.
Right.
But there was a desire to have a more accountable government than was offered by Mubarak and his system. And that led to the overthrow of Mubarak, although it was the army which actually spearheaded that. And I believe it was certainly not spearheaded, but it executed that move. I mean, it was the one that overthrew Mubarak. The demonstrations were simply the reason to do it. And that was the same reason that they followed when they overthrew Morsi, although it was a much, much larger case of popular upheaval. I mean, the demonstrations were much, much greater against Morsi than they were against Mubarak.
Because the disorder was much greater that they overthrew, yes.
Not just disorder, but also the nastiness of the regime was much greater.
I think I'm hearing a yes from you, Raymond.
Yes.
You're telling me that Morsi overthrew Mubarak, and now Sisi overthrows Morsi, and the Egyptian people will be satisfied that they've restored the world. The world is now in orbit around the sun, and everything can go forward.
I think that is the general feeling, although there's not a great deal of physical recovery yet. I mean, it's going to take time. And there's an ongoing civil war, so it's not truly restored as yet. There's a sense that it's moving in the right direction. And that was an essential move to make it go in the right direction, that is to get rid of Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood. But the Muslim Brotherhood is not entirely gone yet. They're still fighting, along with their Salafi allies. Since the things are going to shift in another direction internationally, because the Obama administration has unfortunately decided to freeze most of our aid going to Egypt now, which possibly will change the alliance between us, might even cause them to go to, say, the Russians.
Right.
There's open discussion of this now.
There's a choice of stoogehood, but in any event.
Not stoogehood in this case. I think it would be more of an independent move if they go to Russia now. So they may wind up being dependent upon Russia, but not to the same degree they were. They'll diversify their sources, I'm sure.
Are you satisfied with Sisi?
On the whole, yes.
It's
a provisional yes.
Horem Heb, 3,000 years ago, and General al-Sisi in 2013, in the 21st century. Egypt is content to follow its history and its heart. I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show.